Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
For more than 140 years, Veiled Prophet held unique sway in St. Louis. It was the name of a private fraternal organization founded in 1878. And it's done a lot in St. Louis, like putting on America's Birthday Parade every 4th of July, contributed to community service projects, and hosted a lavish debutante ball for its members, men from wealthy, prominent local families. But the Veiled Prophet is also a person. Each year, according to the organization, someone new filled the role, dressing in robes and a veil, and taking a starring role at the group's events. This figure was a mascot, a stand-in, if you will, for a fictional king of Persia who had fallen in love with St. Louis. This is how the group used to present him.
Our enchanted story begins in 1878, when a wise, benevolent Persian monarch began traveling the world in search of a suitable community to share his goodwill. One city, the gateway to the west, stood out above all others, and the Veiled Prophet of Khorasan selected the city of St. Louis as his adopted home.
This figure, and what you've heard, is the introduction to the figure in a video presented by the Veiled Prophet organization as a commemorative gift to those who attended the 2012 Veiled Prophet Ball. Now, just to be clear, this is all fiction. There was no Persian monarch. The Veiled Prophet is no more real than, say, Santa Claus or Godzilla. But what's real is the impact the Veiled Prophet had on St. Louis until last year. And earlier this month, in response to a St. Louis Public Radio question about the status of the Veiled Prophet, the organization formerly named for that fictional character, but a very real figure, confirmed for the first time that, quote, the figure is no longer part of VP St. Louis, unquote. It's a big change for an historically secretive organization. The history of the Veiled Prophet and efforts to, well, unveil it, is the subject of a new episode of St. Louis Public Radio's special mini-season of We Live Here, 10 years after the Ferguson Uprising. That episode is out today. And with me to talk about this news and the status of the Veiled Prophet in St. Louis, I'm joined by St. Louis on the Air producer, Danny Wisentowski. Danny, welcome.
It's great to be here.
So Danny, in addition to your work on this show, you're also a producer on We Live Here. And the episode of that podcast that dropped today is one that you and the We Live Here podcast host, STLPR reporter Chad Davis, that you produced together. Now, the podcast's focus is the legacy of the Ferguson Uprising. What's the connection to the Veiled Prophet, Danny?
This episode, it comes at the end of this series where we've taken a lot of really specific looks at what happened after the Ferguson Uprising. A lot of what we wanted to do with this series is to tell a new story, new stories that weren't just about the shooting and the terrible grief and the legal process that has been gone over so many times. And coming to the end of this series, I had the thought that examining history is difficult. Trying to look at something 10 years in the past, it is not easy, and things are still developing. And it brought to mind that there is another incident that really shaped St. Louis that is about protests and was about a kind of uprising against a system of power. And that's not something that just took place 10 years ago. That took place in 1972 when protesters like Percy Green and Action unveiled the Veiled Prophet during the Veiled Prophet Ball, which was what it was called at the time. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to help tell this story, present a look back of how do people like Percy Green and others look back at the Veiled Prophet, you know, not just 10 years later, but, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later, and how that changed the city by identifying its power structures and by refusing to be polite mm-hmm. about that tension. And I should say a lot of this story is about changing of names. And, you know, VP St. Louis is it is something that is more recent than just last year. the Veiled Prophet Society that it was founded as. It has changed its name sometime in the past to VP St. Louis, but we're going to talk about the way that those names are important and what they signify.
Mm-hmm. And on that point, Danny, you're here in the studio today because you're reporting some news about the Veiled Prophet, namely that he's gone.
So that is right.
What does that mean?
So this is kind of a big deal that came out as I was requesting comment from VP St. Louis, asking them initially, why did the Veiled Prophet figure who was there during the America's Birthday Parade? This is an annual parade, and if you've been there, you might have seen this figure in his own float and having, you know, women debutantes in designer dresses. This is all kind of part of the different events he was there for, but that stops in 2019. And so I initially reached out to ask, why doesn't the Veiled Prophet show up at the parade anymore? And in the course of the correspondence with the organization, they informed me that not only was he not part of the parade, he's not part of the ball. And that is a big deal because that is a major change for an organization that has really tried to hold on to this tradition in this blend of secrecy and publicity for a very long time. And so we are now saying, you know, the organization is telling us the Veiled Prophet is gone and we're just VP St. Louis.
And just to put a finer point on the dates, 2019 was the last time the Veiled Prophet had a float
at
or a presence at the parade.
And last year at the ball is when the Veiled Prophet is also removed. And now seemingly this organization is saying again that their name, this used to be the name, the identity. And now the Veiled Prophet no longer has a place in the organization that once had its name based on him.
Now, this Tuesday, in another first, Danny, you were granted a sit-down interview with the chief operating officer of VP St. Louis, Michael Ruich. You also got to speak with Wendell Covington, who's the founder of VP St. Louis's Community Impact Foundation. Tell us a little bit about these two executives and why it was that you wanted to interview them, especially if there just has not been any communication with the press in the past.
That is what made this so significant. You know, to my knowledge, and I also asked, you know, a spokesperson for the group, this is the first time that a leadership at this level of the VP St. Louis has actually just spoken openly about what they're doing, what their vision is, what their focus is for the future. A lot of this did come up because I wanted to understand the changes that had taken place to remove the Veiled Prophet from the parade and, you know, the changes in the way that this organization has named itself. Michael Ruich, has been a member of the Veiled Prophet, of VP St. Louis, excuse me, but when he joined it 20 years ago, he would have called it the Veiled Prophet. That is how all of the events were stated. Wendell Covington is more recent. He's been in that position for a couple years now. And I should say Michael Ruich only recently took on that role of being the COO, but he is a longtime member of that group. I wanted to hear for the first time someone from inside this organization explain what it meant to them, what this figure meant to them, what this decision meant. This is an organization that was racially exclusive until the late 70s and for a long time has struggled with criticism that it is an elite, exclusive group that is for the richest and wealthiest and does not open itself to scrutiny really in any way. And so I was interested in whatever they wanted to tell me, and I was interested in understanding why they would want to talk to me at all after all of this time.
Danny, we mentioned, and we just talked earlier about the Veiled Prophet no longer being part of VP St. Louis. And you ask Michael Ruich, again, he's the COO of VP St. Louis, if he had made the decision to remove the Veiled Prophet.
No, I did not make the decision. I've been COO of VP St. Louis for 2 months, so I was not involved in the decision or in the room where the decision was made. But you know, things change for reasons.
Michael, what reasons, please?
Well, we felt that we needed to move on from the past and to position VP in a forward-looking manner, and if there were impressions or reasons that people felt that having somebody in a mask or more so a veil because it's if you're going to be veiled prophet, it's veil, not a mask. That people, whether they understood the organization or not, that can bring bad impressions, and we felt that we don't want to convey that. We want to be forward thinking and focus on the positive.
You know, in my research and trying to understand this part of your organization, which has, it is so old. There are not a lot of places that can claim to be 145 years old or have a tradition this long. To talk with someone who was a maid of honor of how much they understood that they would one day meet this veiled figure. And everything that indicates to me how much planning and resources and effort goes into this and to preserving this up until last year, I do not understand the meaning of the veiled prophet figure for people who are in this organization. I just have to say, like, I don't get it. I am interested in understanding, for someone who was there and who had been a member of this, what did you see of why this person was important? Was it something that everyone didn't want, and it would just took a long, like, I guess I just don't get it, is where I'm coming to, and I would love just any detail or specificity that you can show to us about that.
I can't speak for what other people felt or anything like that. I think that we're much more focused on what we can do for the community now versus what people thought about in the past. Organizations, people change over time, and we're no different. We want to focus on what we can do best to help St. Louis rather than look back about what happened 50 years ago or even 100 years ago. I mean, it's you know, things that happened 20 years ago aren't relevant today in the general world, and we feel right now that it's much more important to look forward and not really dwell on what happened.
That was Michael Ruich, Chief Operating Officer for VP St. Louis, and he's talking about the group's decision to remove the veiled prophet figure after more than 140 years. Danny, are there any details that we know about why the veiled prophet was removed in 2023?
You know, the short answer, you know, as you just heard, we don't know. The VP St. Louis did not give me any concrete reason to any degree of how this decision was made. We can point to some moments that drove attention recently. And the one that really comes to mind that folks might remember is that actress Ellie Kemper, who is from St. Louis, she was part of the debutante ball in 1999, I believe. She was the queen of love and beauty. That's kind of the belle of the ball. She goes on, of course, to become famous as an actress in The Office and shows like The Adventures of Kimmy Schmidt. But in 2021, someone tweets a photo of her and says, and accuses her essentially of being a, quote, KKK princess because of the visual similarity of the veiled prophet, a lot of the early illustrations, to these hooded figures. And this tweet goes all over the place. People start talking about this cult organization. She eventually apologizes for being part of an organization she says is, you know, demonstrably racist, and that she distances herself from it. A year later, this happened again. Another, you know, someone who had been a young woman who had been part of this debutante ball, Bush Valentine, is running for U.S. Senate in 2022, and her role in this ball at a time when black people were not allowed to be there. I should mention also pre-1979, that becomes an issue and again drives that attention. Now, again, I am drawing connections through speculation, but it seems like those did really matter. And if we look at the timeline, 2021, 2022, these two events happened with Ellie Kemper and Trudy Bush Valentine. 1 year later, the veiled prophet is gone.
We're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's return to my conversation with Danny Wisentowski, producer for St. Louis on the Air and for this special mini-season of the We Live Here podcast, which is focused on the legacy of the Ferguson Uprising. That latest episode of the podcast is out today, and its subject is the history of St. Louis's Veiled Prophet as a figure and an organization named after it. Danny's reporting some news about that today, too, and we're discussing that now. So, Danny, before the break, we heard your exchange with St. Louisan Michael Ruich, who's been a longtime member of the organization formerly called the Veiled Prophet and now officially named VP St. Louis. But it does have VP in the name, and this was part of your conversation with Ruich, VP St. Louis's chief operating officer. Before we listen to that, Danny, I should note that there's a third voice in the interview excerpt that we're about to hear, and that's the voice of Wendell Covington, the founding executive director of the VP Community Impact Foundation. And at this point in the interview, Danny, you're talking about the community service work being done by the VP St. Louis Community Impact Foundation, and the first voice we're going to hear is that of Michael Ruich.
The exciting thing for me is that our membership wants to be involved. They want these opportunities that, and especially are excited about the things Wendell has brought forward. CIF is only about to start its third year, so it's a baby, but is already taking great steps. So the future is very bright, and you know, whether it's someone who's 80 plus years old who Wendell talked to today, who's like, we want you to do more, to the younger members who are in their 20s and 30s, especially the younger generation. The younger generation really wants change, and they want to be a part of us and know that we help them facilitate that change.
You know, for that younger generation, I would imagine they would have a question, what does VP mean? Why is it in the name of this organization if this figure is not part of the ball and not part of the parade? What do you tell them when they ask that?
VP is just letters. It stands for nothing. There is not Veiled Prophet. We've kept a VP, but it doesn't really represent anything. And so it's no different than, you know, anybody else.
Do you think that argument works in 2024? We've had sports teams that have renamed themselves. There are organizations. It seems like you are dragging this history behind you, but you are at this point not really at a point where you want to talk to me about what it actually means to you, which I understand. But I also, I think a lot of folks that you're trying to partner with would have those similar questions, right?
Again, Wendell's out talking to the people who want to partner with us, and I don't think that that's a question he's asked necessarily.
No one's asked you, Wendell?
Nobody's ever asked me that question. What people want to see is, what type of impact are we committing to? And people are definitely holding us accountable to the promises that we're making. I think we're at such a crossroads, Danny, that I think people are more interested in how we plan to roll up our sleeves and contribute versus being relegated to the past. Do past conversations come up? Absolutely. But when we level set and talk about the trajectory for the future and the vision that we have for St. Louis, most nonprofits, most organizations are willing to have the conversation and meet us in the middle.
That was Wendell Covington, the founding executive director of the VP Community Impact Foundation. The other voice we heard was that of Michael Ruich, chief operating officer of VP St. Louis. They spoke with St. Louis on the Air producer Danny Wisentowski earlier this week, and Danny is here with me now talking about the legacy of the Veiled Prophet. Danny, what did you make of that explanation? Like, is it fair to say VP is, quote, just letters?
I mean, you could say it, but it was certainly not a satisfying or substantial answer to my questions about how did these leaders of this organization view their own history. We heard earlier in our show how that, you know, the enchanted story of the Veiled Prophet visiting, this was a fairy tale that united this group, that drew them together, that required incredible resources and planning, as I mentioned. And the idea that this is a branding issue or a name change, I think, is just kind of hard to swallow considering the amount of resources and how closely identified this group was with this figure. And it's still part of the name. Mm-hmm. And you can hear some exasperation. I just was not expecting them to tell me nothing.
Right. And just to be very clear, you were doing what a journalist does, which is to restate questions that are important to, you know, what you feel the public needs to know, and that later on in the conversation, Michael Ruwitch again said that those were just letters. VP didn't mean anything.
I did come back to that issue and give Michael Ruwitch another opportunity to elaborate. Again, this is a person who has been to the Veiled Prophet ball, the VP ball, whatever they call it, but the Veiled Prophet was there. His family has been tied to this. He has seen the Veiled Prophet. I wanted to know what changed, what felt different, what were the discussions like? And he and Wendell were simply unwilling to go into that in any way.
Mm-hmm. It's very clear that what Wendell Covington and Michael Ruwitch wanted to emphasize is that VP St. Louis is doing good work in the community. Danny, what is it we know about the community service work that VP St. Louis is engaged in?
So, you know, according to their website, they do list, you know, they claim thousands of hours every year doing volunteer work. They list some projects. They worked with groups like the Urban League and others, building homes, packing lunches, building bikes, a lot of things that you do see different nonprofits do in terms of charity. There are some interesting things about this. A lot of the volunteers are the young women who are going to be part of the debutante ball. Mm-hmm. This is all, you know, these pieces, you know, the debutante ball, the parade, the organization itself, these are all very closely aligned and intertwined. A lot of the same people, despite the name changes, are still involved in this. And young women every year, again, are preparing and looking forward to it. Only now they are not going to have to bow to a veiled man named the Veiled Prophet. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that changes the sort of community improvement mission. Wendell certainly is saying it's irrelevant. The good they're doing in St. Louis stands alone. You know, they're trying to make further connections, but you know, they're telling me one, you know, on the subject of the organization's name and vision and identity, I get one answer, and then I get another answer when they want to tell me about the community service work, that this group is just normal and like any other charity, and there is just a disconnect there. Mm-hmm. For me as a reporter trying to understand.
And how was it that Wendell Covington, how did he characterize what success would look like for VP St. Louis?
And you know his characterization was pretty interesting. He talked about both the sense that this is everyone's responsibility. You know, he was saying it's not right to write VP St. Louis off or anyone. He's saying it's all part of this mission. But he also kind of added something else to me about like what that success would look like. And he said this.
Well, I think success can also be defined by when we stop having interviews like this and we start focusing on the progress that we've made. Right. And the impact that we're making in St. Louis, that will be an indicator of our success.
In the last 30 seconds, Danny, did you learn any of what you hope to learn?
I learned some of what I hope to learn. As you heard in that last answer, I'm not sure if the Veiled Prophet appreciated the interview or our We Live Here episode, where folks can learn a lot more about this. But I'm going to keep asking questions and, you know, we'll have to, people can make their own decision of how fair we were and how fair that interview was. I should say the Veiled Prophet, the VP St. Louis, has asked us to take down the episode that we put up about them, and folks can decide whether that is fair.
Danny, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here.
This episode was produced by Danny Wissentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.